Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so excited. It's Easter, and I'm not just talking today. In the church, Easter lasts for 50 days, and the next few Sundays, I get to preach on some of my favorite texts in the whole Bible. We get to sing "This is the Feast" and eat at the table, the victory feast of our God, for Christ has conquered sin and death, and love has the last word over all of our lives. We made it through Holy Week. I can't tell you what Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday do to my heart. It's such a hard week to lead services, because although we know Easter is coming, there's still the weight and pain of Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. But here we are on Easter Sunday, the day that all Sundays are modeled after. Each Sunday is a mini celebration of the resurrection. So this week, in the midst of everything else going on during Holy Week, it had marked 2 months since the earthquake shook Turkey and Syria. It's been a couple of months, so I don't know how many of you remember this, but on February 6th, more than 50,000 people died in the earthquake that occurred, and more than 1.5 million people became homeless, nearly two-thirds of that number being children. Now, although the news coverage has long moved on, the lives of those affected are still devastated. I've continued to pray for the people whose lives were affected in Turkey and Syria by the initial earthquake and the thousands of aftershocks that followed. I think that because these people and their situations still weigh heavily on my heart, that maybe that's why the earthquakes mentioned on Good Friday and then in the text for today caught my attention, right? You know how sometimes you can read or watch something and you don't always pick up all the details, but it comes to you differently at different times? Well, this year I noticed that earthquakes bookend Good Friday and Easter Sunday. In Matthew, an earthquake occurs at the exact moment that Jesus breathed his last. And it split open rocks and released the bodies of many saints from their tombs. So also, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to Jesus' tomb on Easter morning, there's an earthquake as the angel appears to roll the stone away. On both occasions, Good Friday and Easter morning, the earth shook, which was perhaps quite appropriate because the very foundation of everything that these two women, that the world once thought to be secure, had been completely shaken. We've grown so accustomed to celebrating Easter with beautiful flowers and joyful music, that I think we tend to forget what an unsettling and confusing and frightening experience that first Easter must have been for those who experienced it. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had witnessed Jesus' crucifixion and burial, and still reeling from the trauma, they came to his tomb at dawn that morning. Matthew, unlike the other Gospels, does not say that they came to anoint Jesus' body for burial, but only that they came to see the tomb. What were they expecting to see or to do? To simply sit there and keep silent? To mournfully keep vigil at the tomb of their Savior? Or is it possible that they remembered Jesus' words about rising from the dead on the third day and holding onto hope, maybe with white knuckles, they came to see what would happen? We don't know, of course, but I think it's safe to say that they were not prepared for what did happen. Because a great earthquake shook the ground beneath them, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, dazzling like lightning, and rolled back the stone. The angel told them not to be afraid because Jesus was not in the tomb, that he had been raised just as he said. The angel even invited them to see the place where Jesus lay. And then they were told to go and tell the disciples that he had been raised and was going ahead of them to Galilee. And then, still probably shaking with some fear, and we're told great joy and a message to deliver, the women left quickly to carry out their mission. But then their world was rocked once again as Jesus himself met them along the way. The women, we're told, held onto his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus echoed the words of the angel, telling them not to be afraid, but to go and tell the others. Brothers and sisters, the earth-shaking news of the resurrection, for them and for us, is filled with fear and joy. And isn't the same thing true in our lives, that both are true at the same time? We can have fear and joy. Fear of what may happen to our children or grandchildren in a dangerous world. And joy at the blessing that they are to us. Fear at whether we will have a job in the year to come. And joy in the work that we get to do in the present. Fear about the fate of a loved one struggling with illness. Joy in the gift that that person has been and continues to be to us. Fear about the future amid problems both national and global. And joy in the present, surrounded by those we love. It's both fear and joy that come together in the human experience. I think it's really powerful that the announcement of Jesus' resurrection doesn't take away the women's fear, but rather the announcement of the resurrection enables these women to keep faith amidst their fears, and it empowers them to share the good news in spite of their anxiety. This is the very definition of courage. We all know, all too well, what it is to have the ground beneath us shake. We have all felt the world around us quake, so to speak, at one time or another. We also know that following Jesus doesn't smooth out the rough places in our lives, that following Jesus doesn't stop the tremors that shake this world. The good news is that Jesus is risen and alive, and because he is risen and alive, he gives us the ability to keep our feet amid the tremors. And he enables us not just to persevere, but to even flourish when the earth quakes beneath us. Fear and joy, despair and hope, these are two sides of our lives in this world. But in the end, we have the resurrection promise that joy, hope, and love have the victory. The good news of Christ's resurrection, it doesn't take away our fear, though sometimes we desperately wish it would. But it does offer us courage and hope by anchoring us in the sure promise that God will have the last word. Do not be afraid. This charge from the angel and repeated by Jesus when he encounters the women is the same charge that Jesus gives us today. It's hard to be a human. There's a lot of scary and hard stuff in the world. And yet, the resurrection of Jesus Christ creates the possibility for joy and for hope and courage and so much more. Because it changes everything. Everything. In the resurrection, we have God's promise that life is stronger than death, that love is greater than hate, that mercy overcomes judgment, and that all the sufferings and difficulties of this life, as real and painful as they are, do not have the last word, and they do not represent the final reality of our lives. Brothers and sisters, God's love has the last word, and that word is one of light and life, grace, mercy, love, and peace. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.